The next tshuva is taken from Shilchus Tshuvos Mimaamakim, second volume, tshuva Simon Tesvav. And Rav Oshri begins the tshuva by describing how after people survived, he and others survived the Holocaust, they put great effort into tracking down and finding children who had been entrusted to non-Jews. Sometimes they went to churches, sometimes they went to private homes, and they put in enormous effort. The way he puts it is, "Barov amal v'yigia b'yisurim u'mesiris nefesh," with tremendous effort, they managed to track down children who, again, had been given by their parents over to non-Jews during to be saved, so that they would be saved during the time of the Holocaust. Now, one of the issues that arose was that many of the boys had not received a bris milah, and the reason was very simple, because the parents were afraid that had they given them a bris, this would be more of an indication that the child was Jewish, and given they wanted to protect the children, so they did not give many of the boys a bris. And then the requirement arose, after retrieving these children, saving them, that they had to have a bris milah. Sometimes the children, they were no longer little, and obviously this is something which is accompanied by significant pain. And he says that by and large, generally what was done was that they convinced the children that this is something which is necessary, so that they would, you know, be fully part of Klal Yisrael. In order to do this critical mitzvah, it would be necessary for them to undergo the bris milah, even though, again, there was significant pain that went along with it. There was one child, he says, who was 10 years old, and he did not agree under any circumstances that he would undergo a bris milah unless they would promise him that he wouldn't have any pain. And the only way to do that would be to actually, to give him to basically make him go to sleep, as one would do before some kind of operation. And he says that, this was a question which arose as to whether it was permissible to put this child to sleep under an anesthetic and then to do the bris milah. Was this permissible or not? So he presents a debate amongst the Achronim. He presents some of the sources, others weighed in as well. First of all, he quotes from Shel Sechuas Ma'arche Lev, of the Av Beis Din of Kishinov, who dealt with this question. It was in regard to a child who was 5 years old, who had not yet undergone a bris milah. And the question was not general anesthetic, but localized anesthetic. Was it permissible to give this child the kind of anesthetic that would, he describes how this was done already in his time, in the tshuva, Shelus Marechalev, he describes how this was done when extracting teeth or doing dental work. They would already have this kind of localized anesthetic. So could they give a local anesthetic to the child to prevent pain when giving him the bris milah? And he comes to the conclusion that there's nothing in the Torah which prohibits this per se. And therefore, he said that it was permissible. Now, on the other hand, Rav Oshri notes that there are other sources. He particularly points to a Shelus Hatshuvas Imre Yosher, who came to the opposite conclusion. And he was dealing with a case of a convert who wanted to convert to Judaism. And the question was whether they could, put him to sleep, give him a general anesthetic to prevent the significant pain that would accompany the bris milah. And he points out in this Tashelos Tshuvas Imre Yosher that apparently in Chazal we find sources that indicate that there was such a thing as an anesthetic. In other words, it comes up in a couple of different sources, but most compelling, Rav Oshri acknowledges, is a Gemara in Bava Kamma that talks about the situation in which a person's hand would be amputated, and some kind of medicine or anesthetic was used in order to prevent the person from suffering pain. So if this is true, says the Shelus Hatshuvas Imre Yosher, so why then don't we find in Chazal some reference to giving an anesthetic to a child to a baby to prevent the pain of Bris Milah. He comes to the conclusion, given that Chazal had such abilities, they already knew how to provide some kind of localized anesthetic, and they do not mention regard to a Bris Milah. Haraya, that this is not appropriate and proper in regard to a Bris Milah. And in order to explain a little bit further, he quotes a Medrash Rabbah. Medrash Rabbah says, in regard to Avram Avinu, that Avram Avinu, hirgish minitztayer, when he underwent his Bris Milah, he felt it, he experienced it, and he suffered pain. Kidei sheyichpol lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu scharo, so that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would increase his reward. So he says, you see over here, in regard to the Bris of Avram, the original Bris, right, the very first Bris, that this idea of tsar is considered to be important. Now, Rav Oshri, however, takes issue with the argument of the Imre Yosher. He says it may be true that Chazal had the ability to be able to provide an anesthetic, and it is true that it's not mentioned in regard to a Bris Milah, but the basic bottom line of his counterproof is Lo Ra'inu Ein Araya, that the fact that they don't mention such a thing doesn't necessarily prove anything. Also, in the context of the tshuva, you know, in regard to which Rav Oshri acknowledges that there is an additional reward that the person can receive for suffering some kind of pain, indicates some mesiris nefesh for the mitzvah, but on the other hand, it doesn't turn it into an obligation. So therefore, Chazal may not have mentioned it in regard to Bris Milah, because generally Bris Milah is in regard to a baby, and in regard to a baby, there may be some element of tsar, but nonetheless, that's considered to be acceptable and normal, but it doesn't mean that it's actually prohibited. And that's in regard to the Medrash, that's the other proof brought by the Imre Yosher, maybe that's the most essential proof brought by the Imre Yosher. He says, that only emphasizes the additional reward that one receives in regard to for the mitzvah. But it doesn't indicate that the essence of the mitzvah cannot be fulfilled. It doesn't show you that the mitzvah has a requirement of pain, and the essence of the mitzvah cannot be fulfilled in the absence of that. So then he goes on to note that a number of other poskim also agree that experiencing pain is not essential for the fulfillment of the mitzvah. He quotes the Chelkas Yoav. He quotes, for example, another sefer called the Pischei Sheorim, another tshuva, number of different tshuvos and periodicals where this was discussed, and most of the poskim, he says, assume that it is not necessary, it's not essential for the person, his enimo, who is undergoing the Bris Milah, to suffer pain. Therefore, in this extenuating circumstance, which if this child was insistent that he would not undergo the Bris Milah if he would suffer pain, and if he would not undergo the Bris Milah, then maybe he would, in general, maybe he would go back to the non-Jews with whom he had, you know, had grown up and he got used to them. So now his whole Yiddishkeit is at stake, in addition to the particular mitzvah of Bris Milah. Therefore, Rav Oshri felt that, of course, in this circumstance, it would be permissible for him to undergo a general anesthetic and for the mitzvah of Bris Milah to be fulfilled in that way. He mentions at the end of the tshuva that at that point in time, they actually gave a bris to 80 children, 80 boys, and they brought them into, as he puts it, lahachnisam tachas kanfei hashchina. And this is only, you know, one particular example, this particular child, and the broader picture of these 80 boys is only an example of the incredible mesiris nefesh that people had after the Holocaust, despite the enormous suffering, the unspeakable horrors that they had experienced, but they did not spare any effort in trying to make sure to reestablish, Yiddishkeit. And of course, the very first step in reestablishing Yiddishkeit is making sure that no Jew, literally, is going to be left behind, and to make sure to retrieve every last child that they possibly could identify, and to bring the child tachas kanfei hashchina, lachnisa bervisa shel Avraham Avinu, and then, of course, to try to direct that child so that he would remain faithful to Torah and to HaKadosh Baruch Hu.